One, check one. Yes.
Great.
All right. Let's do this. Members of the panel, would you please come forward? Members of the panel, please come forward. In the red corner, on the blue microphone on the left, my right. Members of the panel, where is you? I see people stealing our beer and mate. Where are the members of the panel? Oh, these are here. Alright. Oh, they're stuck at the beer. No. Yeah. True. Yeah, they just Benny just asked us not to have drinks inside this room, so. Ooh, and definitely that's what. Ooh. We have not seen that. We did not see that. So, but please take your seat so we can start with the podcast panel. Waiting them to get beers and mate. So how long is this talk gonna be? 1 hour? Yeah, so 1 hour-ish, 56 minutes left. 1 hour and 56 minutes, yeah, correct. I think this is the podcast meeting, drinking beer on stage. Alright, two people sitting already, three people sitting already. Alright, yeah. So yeah, there should be 12 people. Okay, please be seated.
Please dial star 611 for assistance.
Screen turn on, you're listening to the radio program about hackerspaces. This is a little radio program about hackerspaces.
Repeat, not equal, not string, byte voice can actually change the world. For large enough values of counter register, you find what others search. Repeat, not equal, not string, byte voice can actually change the world. For large enough values and counter register. You find what others search
in the house.
Repeat,
the house.
Not equal, no string, by voice can actually change.
Hello.
Hello.
Awesome. Holy shit, you kind of do look like him.
Oh my so, god.
Come up here.
We're going to pause for a commercial now. Break while Paul just keeps fucking talking.
I kind of did.
So this loud bullshit has been brought to you by Paul continuing to
I'm
talk
just trying
and make
to
advertisements.
Chris.
Should we stop and make a commercial break yet? Or I
mean, is that all you got? Is making fun of the commercials?
Well, thank you guys for showing up. Since none of us can decide who's going to MC, we're just going to randomly talk at you. And you're supposed to randomly talk at us, and it's going to work.
Okay. Nice. Do you think there's enough people up here, or do we need more?
That's more up than down.
Matthew's not here yet, wherever Matthew is.
He's drunk in a ditch somewhere. So as part of being drunk in a ditch somewhere, we've decided that lots of these podcasters meetups end up with us being drunken idiots because it's pretty much how all of us are. I mean, I'll speak for me.
Second.
Yeah.
Started.
Yeah. And this is why we're podcasters, right? We get along because we all just drink like fishes and pull each other out of the gutters every once in a while.
I like
which,
you.
Kind of leads us to some of the topics that we were thinking about, like, what should we discuss? Like, how are we going to talk about stuff, and how are we going to make it halfway sane this year? So one of the things that when a lot of us were sitting around talking is we wanted to start asking the audience some things up front, because we're kind of podcasters, right? We go through and we look for some of these things all day long. We try and share any of the stuff that we find, but we want to know a little bit about sort of how you guys do things. So the first topic I wanted to bring up was acquisition of skills. So you're all here at a conference, right? And by being here at a conference, you're trying to acquire certain skills or just sit in the audience and heckle and be like, Nickers is a fucking idiot, which is cool too, because I need that. But how do you guys, just here on the panel, I mean, Just to kind of start it off, like, where do you get skills from? I mean, aside from your, you know, companies that pay for your podcasts.
Lots and lots of reading.
Reading.
Late night reading of PDFs, not from Didier. And blogs and, yeah, just whatever's out there.
Like what? Like what blogs, though? I mean, it's, like, there's a million blogs out there. Are there certain blogs that you read that you can, like, pimp and be like, these guys are the shit?
Probably.
School security?
Who's that?
Schoolsecurity.com.
Yeah.
Yeah. ICSilence.org.
Yeah. Iron Geek.
Don't stuff people. Iron Geek is very cool.
Yeah, Connell Onage. That's always...
Tech Research.
Good.
You guys getting those? Or are you just like, whatever? You're like, no pens. Screw you guys. Keep talking.
There's Didier's blog.
Pentest IT.
What's that?
Pentest IT.
Yeah?
They're really good.
So, all right, so those are blogs. What other ways do you guys get info? Like, I know we don't listen to each other's podcasts because we hate each other. But
sure. I listen to Exotic Liability.
I listen to Paul.com. I mean, like, I actually do. Like, I show up in the room and shit, and I, like, say stuff, and they're like, shut up. But,
and we pause for this commercial break.
We can have a commercial break.
Can we have a commercial?
For this podcast, meetup, we have some sponsors. Look at them, visit their websites.
See, it's not just us, Chris.
Yep, but they gave us stuff to give away.
I'm too much in order to get a sponsor, but I just rely on you guys for, like, toeing the line. And I just hang out and drink the booze.
You know, what a good idea is to acquire more knowledge is doing mistakes, fucking things up and try to repair them.
Yeah.
Yeah, I specialize in that.
Try to learn how they work.
So
look
that's,
inside.
That's kind of an
read
awesome...
Read the man page.
Yeah, I think that's an awesome point, and I really appreciated you talking about it today, is failure. Like, do you guys fail a lot?
Oh, yeah.
Daily.
Fucking live from failing.
Like, failing is... Like, that's, you know, that's an old school education philosophy, right? Like, the only way you learn is by failing. And that's a heavy, heavy thing to get, right? Because if you succeed, then you know it already. Like, it's confirmed, you know it. But if you fail, it gives you the opportunity to learn.
But, you know, here's the thing. You have to not be afraid to tell people that you failed. Because you may struggle with something and you're failing. So how do you get to the next step? Well, you got to go to one of your buddies and you got to say, dude, I can't get this to work. And it takes a lot of guts to say that sometimes. But you know what? If they can help you or if they know the answer and they can show you, now you've learned. So a lot of times it just takes the guts to admit it.
I got you should stay to your fails, but you try to try to find things out by yourself, because everything what somebody tells you, a part of it or a piece of it stays in your mind, but everything what you find out by yourself, that stays in your mind. So if you have to fucking go the hard way, then you learn. If you got it told from somebody, that's what I don't like on the script kiddies. They come over to you, they ask you a question, then they do it and they forget it. And that's the problem. That's a real problem, I think. You should try to make your mistakes yourself, and you should try to fix it yourself as much as you can. Sure, you have to read, you have to ask people.
Yeah, you can't totally live in a bubble.
But you don't expect them to give you the answer, the whole answer, because then you don't learn.
Well, I mean, yeah, you can't, like, you know, learn kung fu on your own by going into the mountains and being like, you know, fucking Neo.
That's true, but
you can't just be like, download kung fu and like.
You need the little old drunken master in the woods to show you the kung fu, right?
But yeah, Chris, some drunken podcaster to be like, no.
Chris, there's one thing. Chris, I'm doing this martial arts since a long time, and you know what you get in Japan? You get hints. But you have to figure out what they mean. They give you a koan, it calls koan in old times, and they say something. Like, I was asking my teacher, what is Aiki? And he looks at me, Sun. So, that helped me a lot. So what they say, you got to steal with your eyes. Mm-hmm. And they give you hints, but they don't give you the answer, because they expect you to find out the answer so that you really learn. Because things where you got told, it's really the way it is. If you get the whole answer told in once, you will forget a lot of it.
Yeah.
How many people
and ask the same question twice.
Yeah.
That's not working.
Hello.
Just put your mouth right next to it.
I actually hypnotized your microphone.
That's
don't work.
Because
it sticks,
your mic doesn't
it
work.
Sticks to your mouth.
I was just saying people are scared to fail, so I think lots of people just don't bother trying. We're on. Good. But like everyone said, it's important to fail. And don't be worried about, oh, there's no point in trying because I'm not going to do it. You don't know until you try.
So that's, like, what about in your experience with some of the stuff you've been doing for the last 2 years? Like, how does that play into it?
Lots and lots and lots of fail. I mean, that's the hardest thing is, especially with those sort of things, with social engineering and stuff, to actually go out and do it. It takes balls because you are going to fuck up big time in front of people. And you just feel like you're going to be a failure. But the only way to get past that is just by keep on reproducing the failure. And eventually you'll find out why all these things don't work. And suddenly you have that light bulb moment where this is why it works. And then you can start working more and reproducing that. And you can't get confidence until you succeed. But that just requires lots and lots of fail.
Yeah.
Fail's good.
I'm with it. I mean, So, you know, you have these abilities to go get these things from blogs, and shit's attacking me. But you get stuff from blogs and whatever else, right? Like, we listen to each other's podcasts. Where else do you guys get some of these skills? Like, do you code all of your tools on your own, or do you get them places? What stuff do you use? I mean, where are you guys at with that?
You got to look at the tools that other people have written, and then not only just kind of use them and kind of say, okay, I can run this command and it's going to come up with what I want. You need to look at it and say, well, it's not quite doing what I want. I'm not just going to walk off. I'm going to look at the code and I'm going to change it. I'm going to make it do what I want it to do. And if you don't do that, then you're just a script kiddie. You're not actually doing anything more than just typing a command in and saying, look how elite I am. I can own a website by typing in a command and using something else someone else wrote. If you can't go and look at it, then you need to learn that. Otherwise,
right,
you're not learning.
And I think that takes us on to, is it a requirement for, say, people performing a technical role in IT security? Is it a requirement they should be capable of doing some level of programming? And that's a tough one, because there are some very talented people that are very good at security that, you know, couldn't code. But I think having an appreciation of, say, like a high-level scripting language, that's worth doing personally, and that that takes your game to the next level, and it means that you can start scaling things better because you can start automating and seeing how things could be done smarter.
Well, there's another point on it. Sometimes you use a program like the framework, like Metasploit, and you have an environment where there is nothing in Metasploit, so write it by yourself. Because you don't find, you maybe have this brand new Windows 7 all patched, and you don't have any exploit in your ARM box, so write one. You still got this big framework that is great and enhance you in writing it, and you can test it and you can work with it, but you should be able to write your own stuff and you should be able to understand the stuff when you read it. Because when you decompile, when you find malware in your systems and you decompile it, and you have to find out what happened to my system and you can't read that shit, maybe you should change job.
So I have a question kind of farther back from that, though. I'm new in the industry. Like, I don't know how to write exploits. I'm not, like, lead, awesome, sit on the stage and freaking jerk off to my own skill set guy. Like, I'm just, this is not me, right? Like, I don't know shit. And, like, I need to learn shit. Like, how do I get to that point? Like, all right, so we addressed failing, right? Well, all right, well, if I don't know how to code, like,
well,
I just fail up front.
You should go to groups like the CCC in Germany. You should find the hackerspace yourself. Don't be afraid to ask people, because everybody who is really good, he loves to teach you. If you would go over to FX and say, I want to learn assembly, he would love to teach you, help you out. Not all his time, because he is short on time, but I don't think he would refuse to help someone or people like Dan or whoever. Go to the places. I mean, hacker spaces are all over the world right now, and places where people meet up, find somebody who got the same interest, share it with them, and try and play. I mean,
I think that's all
sure,
well and good.
School is a help.
You just need to break stuff.
I think that's all well and good, is like picking someone else's brain and getting some hints and stuff. But you got to help yourself. You got to pick. Yeah. You got to pick something that you want to do that there's not a tool out there that does it, and just write it. I mean, I've been learning Python for the last year. I'm the first to admit. I'm the first to admit I'm not a coder. You know, my code is rough as hell. Trust me, if you look at my code, it's scary, disgusting. But it works. It may take me 15 times as long as anyone else, but it works. But you really have to kind of write your own tool and actually understand how it works. And going off and asking someone else, please can you tell me how this works, shouldn't always be your first port of call.
That's right.
That's not actually what I said, but the point is when you go where people share ideas and you go to these places and they say, look, I'm doing this like this way, I'm coding this way, and you say, I could do this too, I could try this. And if you have the interest, and the point is, if you do a job, it doesn't matter what you do, if it's InfoSec or whatsoever, if you do a job what is your hobby, then you're always better off than when you just go ahead and do something to earn money.
You got to love it, because
yes,
if you don't
absolutely.
Love it,
because
it's a job.
Crappy.
And if it's a job, InfoSec is not where you need to be, because if it's just a job for you,
then don't do it.
Then just don't do it. I mean, here's a question for the audience. I mean, who writes their own tools? Okay, bearing in mind how many people we have, it's like six.
I think that at some point you need to write your own tool to do something to understand how stuff works, right? Like if you look at any kind of trade out there, I think that I always learn the most when I do it manually first, and then I use some tool to help me along in the process.
I bet you do.
Only when I listen to your show,
I just
Chris.
Can't get over doing it manually. Like, the automated tools scare me. I'm all, it looks like it's fun, but I just can't keep up with it. I'm sorry, my bad.
I mean, you can find these tools.
I was finally trying to be serious too, and you ruined it.
I'm sorry. I take that back. Like, I'm totally with you. I agree.
It was.
We have interaction.
Yes. Yes. What about you guys?
Silence.
No, like seriously, like what? What do you think about? Like, we're just sitting here randomly talking about stuff.
Why does this matter?
Why does it matter?
Yeah. I mean.
Wait. Because we're streaming and then people can't hear you if you shout in the air.
Why does this matter? I mean, you're talking about skills and pen testing and on all this shit, but does it make a difference? Is your pen test report actually relates to like a business thingy affects someone?
Does the industry make a difference?
We're not really talking about how to make a better pen test report. We're just trying to help people who are thinking about getting into the field, already in the field, and helping them be better.
But it is
the question is that what does it, what relevance does it have to the trade? I mean, there are two things here. There's like skills, hacker skills, technical, whatever it is, and what do you apply them for? And most of us, I guess, apply them for, you know,
yeah, I imagine doing something there, with a know, business. There aren't a whole big collective of black hats where it's just like go pop shit and make money.
Yeah.
Because I'm fucking racist.
I'm sorry.
What?
I was just saying, damn, why do their hats have to be black?
Why do you have to be the only black guy? Go get some people, bro. It's on you. Don't talk smack. Represent.
I know, so to go, like, what do you mean, you people? Damn.
See? See why you always got to turn it. How come you hate white people?
Get that
take that away.
Why you gotta tell the black guy to put the mic down, dude? What's up with you? They were born with that shit. Come on. God, that was. No, I think it's an interesting question to be asked, right? So, how many of you guys do testing in general? Lots of people, huh? Cool. So what do you do testing for? Do you do testing to just, like, break shit and not report it to people? Or do you have to do, like, reporting and, like, deal with the business and those types of things?
Break shit to fix it.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, a lot of you, yes or no or maybe or whatever. Okay. Okay.
I like
so,
money.
So I think that's a good question as far as, like, how do you effectively earn money? Do you have a question or are you just saying
Chris,
yeah?
Chris is up mic.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I'm coming.
Yes, he
has flown to me, but my comment was you can also break things to show other people how it's broken and how they have to fix it.
Right.
And that's my job.
And I think that's
just an educational job by breaking things.
But isn't all of our jobs educational in some way?
All of our jobs are a little bit educational, so to make the world a better place. At least a more secure place.
Yes, I agree, but we suck.
We really suck in this, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like every single person in this room, we all suck. Like, thanks. It's our fault. Is that, I mean, right? Is it? But is it our fault? Huh?
But do we swap?
Only on Sundays.
Only on birthdays. Oh, the married people laugh. That's awesome. No, but... You know, I think that's like such an awesome point, right? Like, how come every single year all of us use the same bullshit graphics in our slide decks and we're like, look at the threat's getting worse. There's so many more people that were compromised this year. Like, doesn't that mean we're not good at our job?
Ian, the mankini is yours.
Hey, Ian, get me one
too. I mean, that very well could mean we're better at our jobs because we're finding more of the compromises. No.
Or does it mean that we're worse because we can't teach the people that we're trying to teach to get better?
I think we did big mistakes in the security industry in the last few years. First of all, what was a problem was all the STARS bullshit. And then we had the problem that we not educate people right. Then we jump on the money. We jump on this AV stuff. And so I think we did some a lot of mistakes in the industry in the last years.
So, just walking down the line, how long have you guys been in security? Just all the way down the line.
I guess I've been in security like 2.5-3 years. Not very long. I'm a real noob, so.
No, you aren't. I'm a real noob. I'm into InfoSec maybe for a week. I'm a totally starter, absolutely rookie. I'm a yeah.
You've already
I'm
got a
developer.
Podcast. I mean, come on.
That's how to get in the business, that's right.
Yeah, but you got to start somewhere, and I'm a developer, and I want to deliver secure code, and so
I mean, that's good. Yeah, to hear someone say, I'm a developer, and I want to do secure code, usually you go to a developer, and you say, this is insecure, and they just look at you and go,
in the wrong job.
I had
that's
a deadline,
awesome.
You know?
Exploit what?
Yeah, we had
SQL what?
Yeah.
See what?
Yeah. So. Yeah, same.
Whoa.
Not so close.
SMU.
That's his answer.
Microsoft will develop a cybersecurity since a month or a week or something like this. That's in the beginning. And I tried to get involved. And
quick question here. What drove you as a developer to want to learn anything about security? Because this is the kind of thing we need to know about.
Oh my Isn't God, it? Yeah.
Because we're preaching here to a bunch of security geeks. Yeah.
But there are a lot of reasons. First, what I mentioned, to deliver secure code. And then I'm eager to learn. I want to learn these things. It's just exciting to see what you can do if you use technology intentionally in other ways than it is intended.
So it's not like a work thing. Someone at work didn't turn around to you and go, "Your code's vulnerable to SQL injection. Learn security, or you're out." It's just like you really wanted to do this.
It's both. It's both. You know.
Just yell. No. It's okay. You can use mine if you want.
I hope. Small question, because I heard this most of the times when I go to conferences like this, and there are always people like, developers are bad and they make shitty code and stuff like that. And now I want to ask you, as the professional guys from security, if you want...
as somebody else.
So if you want to guide developers into making secure code, not addressing them to podcasts, what kind of websites or books would you advise them to read, starting to make them develop better code? What would you advise them?
I think we just need to hang out with developers more, you know?
Yeah.
Like, we can't code worth a shit, so, like, teach me how to program, and I'll teach you about some security stuff, what little I know. And maybe we can have, like, a symbiotic relationship. I think that's a great pairing, because I can hack some things together. I think it was Joe saying, like, I code by Google. Like, I want to use that function. Oh, there's an example of it. Copy, paste. Okay, now it's working a little better for me. So I think we can learn a lot from each other.
But we have a good example, too, if you look at Dan. Dan Kaminsky did this year, he did this stuff with the SQL Inject, and he said, what we need to do is we need to make it easier for the developer to code secure. So he tried to play something out where the developer himself don't have to struggle to be secure. So we have to get into this field
more. Yeah, that's a great resource. Dan's website is recursion.com. And he developed a whole library and abstraction layer that basically separates code and data.
Ian,
it's
you
really
get one
awesome.
Too.
Speaking from a web application perspective, OWASP have a secure development guide that like has tips and hints and has like a structure on how you should develop your code. So that's a guide in which you can use to follow if you want.
Just one second. So I have a question back to you. I mean, like, what would help? You can yell. I mean, it's all right. I'm scared.
What would help is, because when you're like developing, you don't really know, or most of the developers don't know what security all about. Mm-hmm. So when you're like developing, you want to know what's really important, and you want to start from the easy things that can be exploited, and then going further and further into more the technical stuff, and that's more hard to get into. But you really want to get the easy parts being fixed first. So
just so that I have a better view, because I'm a retard in that stuff. Like, I know I am, and it's okay. So I got to ask you, right? Like, so is there a medium that would communicate the way you think to knowing the developers you know? Right? Would a podcast be better? Would a blog? Would a book? Would, you know, interaction? Would us going out and getting loaded? Or would us, like, you know, sitting down and breaking stuff and us going, hey, can you make this happen? And you're like, yeah. And you make, you know, ninja code come out of your ass. And I'm like, sweet, that's awesome. Like, you're a hacker. And I just made ideas. And, I mean, like, what would work best is the communication mechanism for us to, like, provide some of those things.
That was more or less my question, because starting this podcast, you mentioned a lot of podcasts you were listening to each other. So that was a starting point. But as some people don't like to listen to podcasts, they rather like to read a book. I was asking what kind of books would you recommend? And
well, I'm just saying, like, stereotypically, like, if you said, okay, I know 50 developers, mm-hmm. right? Like, just based on your understanding of those developers, what medium do you think would work the best? Would speeches, blogs, books, podcasts, something random, like attacking them in the middle of their house, like, I don't know, brown bagging them and, like, putting a gun to their face? Like, I mean, I'm just saying,
I think,
like,
he's saying books, Chris. He wants to know what books. That's what he's saying.
Yeah, books.
Chris is letting you explore.
You don't have to turn it on. It's offline medium. It's like graphite on dead trees.
I'm just asking him. Kindle. I don't care about your fucking opinion. I'm just saying.
No. Spot the podcaster.
As I say, I have an opinion myself, but because this podcast is being listened to by more than myself.
Well, let's just pretend you're every developer in the world.
Okay.
I know, it's a heavy weight, but we have to do it.
And you're bug ridden.
So, then I would like to have some sites or tools where I can challenge my code to see if it's, like, really secure, and then maybe get some pointers where to look further to have it being better than it is at the moment. So
like a security, like a peer review site for code.
Yeah, that would be nice.
With a security focus. Mm-hmm. But typically when you review code, as you know, it's more than security comes out. Right. So, which is cool, because if it was just security, then some people probably wouldn't go there. But
nothing would work.
Yeah, that's true as well.
There's one problem with that. Like, who here likes reading other people's code? Show hands.
Yeah.
Show hands. A couple of people. You actually like reading other people's code, even if they don't use comments.
Oh, we had this.
Or spaces. Okay, yeah. See.
In Germany, you know, on the CCC.
You know, I analyze malware, so I read other people's code.
In reverse, nonetheless.
In reverse, yeah.
Often really bad code, yeah.
Like, but other people's code backwards. That's what makes you so cool, Didier.
Yeah, but I would like to make some comments on the development side, because I'm also a developer. I have an extensive development background, mostly with Microsoft tools. And what I believe that would help most developers in coding secure is to use new modern languages or use more modern tools. For example, let us take the C language. The C language, with all of its pointers here and its unsafe functions, is really an accident to happen. I don't know if you know the quote by Kearney and Ritchie, who invented the C language, when he invented he invented something to shoot you in the foot, okay? And he was not satisfied with all the damage done, so he invented the C language. Yeah. Okay, but joking aside, so you have, for example, in the C language, you have the string cat function, which is an unsafe function, because you're copying from a buffer to another buffer, and you don't check the length. So it's easy to have a buffer overflow. The last Adobe Zero Day is just due to that. Somebody who used string cat without checking the size of the buffer. Now, Microsoft and other companies, too, have brought out new compilers who don't allow you to use string cat. If you try to use stringcat, you will get an error message, and you have to use another function, a safe string handling function from a library. And I believe it's better to integrate that directly into the tool, so that the developer has the warning immediately when he just types stringcat, and not at compile time or with a checker after, but with instant code checking. Another example is SQL injection, and Microsoft has also done a good work there to avoid SQL injection. Basically, why do you have SQL injection? Is because programmers who program in C, in BASIC, in PHP, they build up the SQL commands as a string. So do they do string concatenation, and then you can inject some of the parameters and do SQL injection. Okay, now, up till the .NET framework 2.0, you had to use also that string concatenation to build up a string, or else used store procedures, but that's more difficult. But starting with, if I remember correctly, with .NET framework 3, they introduced a new language. They call it Link, L-I-N-Q.
And Link allows you to write SQL directly into your language. So it's not considered as a string, but it is recognized as a valid SQL statement. So you're writing, for example, .NET C# code, and then in Link you type your SQL command, and your compiler and your IDE immediately recognize this as a SQL statement, and it will treat it as a SQL statement and not allow you to perform string concatenation on it. So I believe that integrated tools that
we need a safety on our gun.
Yeah.
I'm too dumb to do it your way.
Well,
right?
And
I'm
that,
really
and
stupid.
That's similar
I'm just
to
saying.
What, but that's similar to what Dan Kaminsky is doing with
the Yes, that's true. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I mean,
absolutely.
Separation of code and
absolutely.
Data and separation
and I think,
of those functions.
And I think the best way to bring over that message to the developers is to have a small workshop, a small presentation to show them, okay, that's the bad way you are doing it, that's the good way with the new tools we have, and now, from now on, you use those new tools in your new products.
It's like Paul said about meeting up with people and getting together and actually talking about it. I think that's one of the biggest problems that we have with secure development at the moment.
Okay, yeah,
we need to sprinkle some of our security culture onto developers.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, there needs to be some cultural
well, and I think,
exchange.
And I think to the point of that, it's really about working more together instead of working against each other, right? Like,
yeah,
I feel like that's what you're bringing up, right? Like,
yeah, and it's
true don't have the security assholes go, developers suck, fuck them, right?
Yeah.
And also have the developer guys go, security people are annoying, get them out of my code.
Okay.
Right? Right? I mean, that's the basic of all of
okay.
this. And what
just,
we need to
I
do
just
is just make a framework
one,
for
one
it.
One more thing. So, okay, meeting other people is good, but you have to meet the right people.
Yeah.
I've met a lot of programmers that stuck and put them together, and they will bring each other down. You have you need a good guy so that they level up.
Cool. Just thank you.
Everyone wants to make comments on this, so bear with me.
Yes,
I'll be with you in a moment.
They all need to mind meld with Didier, and then it's good. Yeah.
But there's also
that's my face.com.
Yes, we need to get little mini Didiers that people can put on their desk. And they can just hold him and feel the power.
What would mini Didier do?
A bobblehead.
Guys, just quickly.
Just
a quick comment on the tools, as Didier said. Quick comment on.
What'd you get? Oh, okay. I thought you got the mankini. I was going to say, you should wear it. It's pretty much what it's for.
Quick comment on the tools, guys, if you don't mind. As Didier said, better tools are great. That's brilliant if we could have them all over the place. But still, if you cannot infect the developer with a basic curiosity, they won't learn shit, to be honest. I've sent people to proper trainings on secure coding, and they came like right with a ton of books, and they wrote better code, pretty much copy and paste manually from the book
right.
for the first 2 weeks. And 2 weeks later, it was like, yeah, down the drain. So like, what the hell is the point of, if they are not curious, it's like smashing your head against the wall, pointless. So
yeah.
But there's another point you have to see. I mean, they have some. Manager who gonna punch them if they don't reach the time, so they have to code right quite fast because it's money behind it, and
they have to learn to duck.
They have to be done, then have to be tested.
We have to go down the software security, security.
No, I mean the point. What I'm saying is, you cannot just punch down to the developers. You have to see the whole system and then try to make it better.
I mean, software security can be summed up by Wu-Tang Clan. Any Wu-Tang Clan fans here?
Wu-Tang Clan?
Yeah, no.
Software security ain't nothing to fuck with.
Cash rules everything around me. And that's why software sucks.
What?
What?
Yes. That's a number of them.
Eight.
And you brought it up.
Yes,
you did.
We have a question. We have a question.
We have a question. We have a question.
Sorry.
It's your fault.
I can't really follow up with a Wu-Tang reference, but...
It's Wu-Tang
Clan. Sorry about
that. Wu-Tang Crap.
Balls on the dresser. Sorry.
I'm going to leave that to the pros, I think. Yeah.
But did you just look at Joe when you said that?
No, I didn't. I promise.
Damn, why do rappers always do that?
You will get the turn.
Give him the mic. Let him throw down.
So, obviously, we were talking a lot about like cooperation between like the security guys and the developers. So, yeah, we the security guys, we obviously like to break code, right? So
yeah, sure, it's fun.
Most of you do that for a living or at least part-time. But who of you guys actually thinks he's a great developer? Please raise your hand.
Good question. He did.
Oh, yeah. Dicky Ninja does. So congratulations to you, mate. So for the rest of us, we suck at coding. I mean, it's like Chris said earlier, we can patch together a tool if we need to. We can, like, pop the box. But if, when it comes to, like, collaboration with developers, we got to be open to work together with them and not be, like, smart asses about everything we say and do. Yeah. Because the whole stuff has to...
Well, I think you make a good point. It's like, we suck at coding and coders suck at security. I think it's fair.
Yeah.
Well, wait. And so
it's fair.
So I think what you're talking about is what we were just talking about earlier today is creativity versus use.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right. So where did you get creativity from? Like, because you're fucking creative. Like, I've watched different shit you've done over a very long time.
With acid.
Well, I know I've done a ton of that, but it also burns me out, and that's why I freak out every once in a while. I'm like, the typing, it's trying to eat me, you know, like, but no, like, I think part of this is about creativity. It's about art, not just about science.
Yeah, I think if you can treat life playfully, yeah, like, in every department, really, but particularly in your job, you know, if you can find a way to bring playfulness to your what you do, how you look at things. And, you know, it's tough because it's all the less is more, you know, do more with less. And so you have to find ways to scale. Like, so you have to, that's why for me a lot of security ends up, even though I'm a complete techie geek, is baking security into processes, yeah? Because you put that stuff into the process, and then you don't have to be there all the time. You know, that's part of it. It's difficult. You can't always do it, but if you can assemble the right people around you, then you can really scale. But as far as the creativity side, I think it's just about you have to be able to apply the child's mindset really, and kind of ask those difficult questions and just say why. It's the hacking mindset. You know, why does it work like that? Does it have to work like that? Yeah. You know, can I affect this in some
say
way?
Say why till it's so annoying that no one will listen to
you. Yeah, my 2-year-old does that. And, yeah.
That's
and
what I'm saying, the sprinkling of
expect,
culture, right?
We can expect secure tools from you.
Security but break-ins.
When we have the secure tools, it's only one side of the story. It's like having the airbag doing the driving. There's also the other side. That we have to develop a sense for security, and yeah, to learn these things.
It's because you have two mics on next to each other, retard.
I'll be quick.
Okay.
Damn.
Okay. That's what we heard.
Dude, I'm always
whatever,
quick,
God, black guy's got to hog the mic.
Got to keep it under 2 minutes. I'm always quick. No, seriously, though, guys, I have 2 points. First point is, when I'm working with developers, the overwhelming majority of the time, the developers are usually really happy and they want an advocate who can help them kind of fight their deadlines and write more secure code. But my question for you guys is the development cycle fundamentally flawed? Meaning when you start learning to program in college, you know, there's less than 10 universities in the entire U.S. Sorry, I can't speak for the rest of the world, but less than 10 universities.
The U.S. was the rest of the world.
Well, yeah. That's how we look at it.
Yeah, but, that's what I thought. Yeah, okay. Just checking. Know,
but seriously, less than 10 universities in the entire U.S. who offer a full-blown secure coding curriculum. And I'm not talking a class. A full-blown curriculum in conjunction with a computer science program. So is it flawed from the start in that developers don't really learn secure coding, and then they have to come ask us all these resources like, hey, where are these books? What are these conferences I can go to? Is it flawed from the start?
I don't think it's flawed from the start at all. I think in their personality, programmers, they like to create something, and they're proud of their work. When they know it's insecure... They're not proud of their work anymore. The reason it's insecure is because they got to get code out the door, and they got to get it out the door fast, and so their company can make more money. Yeah, I mean, that's really what it boils down to.
It's incentives and economics. I mean, if you've read any of Ross Anderson's material. I mean, this guy, he's got the brain the size of a planet. But he's done really good papers on the economics of security. And it answers all your questions, all the things that you've been wrestling with, all those insecurities you have about, you know, how effective you can be in a, particularly in a large company or whatever. All of those things are answered by reading his stuff. It's just, you just realize that the way things are set up, that's why we have all the problems we have, that's why certain problems won't go away. And so instead of perhaps resisting certain things where you're going to burn a lot of energy, yeah, you can identify the areas where you can do more and not burn energy.
David Rice's is it Geekonomics?
Yeah,
it's a good one too.
Oh,
and Wu-Tang Clan, I'm still, you know,
listening to it. As a point of equality, though, like, the security professional education sucks.
Oh, yeah.
And it sucks probably worse than developers. So, I mean, like, who are we to say that anything sucks when our curricula is worse than any other curricula on the planet?
What
both
curricula?
Me and Matthew, but
there's another thing what you have to admit.
Ever. I mean really, just, like... Well, like, you have the medical profession, you have all these people who, you have all these people that are educated at these extremely high levels to perform diagnosis and create resolution. And that's our function in the world. And our industry is way more fucked up than any other in the fact that we don't even know how to train our own people.
That's right. But you have to think one thing of you. I mean, I started reading.
Dude, that's so much head.
And the point is,
for the people listening only, so Chris has just been presented.
If this is not your hobby, again, if this is not
does
your hobby,
does anyone want to change seats?
You have a problem. Yeah. Because education, you have to do this mostly on yourself in our case. Yeah. And if this is not your hobby, this is a real problem.
But
I started that, like 87. I started 83 and got into business in 87. So there was no training. There wasn't even informatic courses. You have to do mathematics.
Yeah. Both me and Matthew are currently at university studying security.
Yeah, not from Rhys University.
Ethical hacking for computer security. So we do programming.
Bullshit.
We do programming, forensics, ethical hacking, computer system fundamentals. What else do we do, Matthew?
What business classes?
Get yourself a
we
microphone.
We do next year, right, but this year coming up, we're doing consultancy. So consultancy is like businesses come to us, and we do vulnerability assessments.
And sugar cutter.
You don't like it. I don't like it either.
What kind of finances are you doing? Accounting, business management?
We do consultancy. So companies come to us, and we do vulnerability assessments for them.
Companies come to you.
Come to the university.
One. Right.
Like, I want a free pen test. Send me a student.
You know, show me this one CIO who wants to spend money on security.
I don't think he spends.
If you don't have to be compliant.
I don't think he spends no money on it. Like, I would spend no money on this.
Or time is money. No, what do you think?
See, I'm going to argue with that.
Time is money.
Okay, so because of my job, then I deal with a bunch of CIOs, and there are some CIOs that they will call you up and they will say, hey, I'm about to do this really big project, and I know from like previous stuff we've done, it would be good to get you on board like early because I know I can manage my costs better if I do that. So from like that perspective, there are people that get it, and that's not because of a compliance requirement.
It's not the majority, though.
No, but these are CIOs.
There are a few CIOs.
But again, it's not us. It's the CIO who's a little bit educated about security, and he's looking at it from a business side.
Right. That's right.
And he's thinking money. At the bottom line,
he's managing risk, which is, you know, an important part of what you should be doing. So,
he adjusts his numbers.
And I think that's the whole partnering thing, where that's the whole partnering thing, though, isn't it? Where if security becomes a true partner, and it's such a catchphrase, I don't even like saying it, but a true partner to the business. Yeah, exactly. They trust you. Oh, no, you're always going to have incidents, mate.
Well, no incidents.
There's no question.
No incidents. No incidents. A lie.
Yeah, then you need to spend the little money you have on much better incident detection, right?
That's or what breaking you need to into do. Their house and removing them.
There's the black bag.
I'm sorry, you're not allowed to exist anymore.
Yeah, it's really like that you. Because if you're doing your job very good, yeah, and you care for spending money in not too stupid things, and maybe you have a squad of 5 to 6 people, and you are handling really lots of businesses, then you are good at it. Huh? And nobody mentions it. I'm not complaining about not getting stroked and hugs and kisses. Huh? That's not the point. But if they
that's
say
why Chris
okay,
is there.
you want to spend now in a perimeter defense for this and that. That's not required. It was working before. We don't need it. We don't need application inspection or anything like that. Why the hell do you think the company would spend money on programming security? Huh?
Well, I think you're talking about what would be considered invisible security, yeah? So when security is functioning, it's hopefully it's invisible.
I don't talk about DOS security.
It's about, you know, it's invisible, and therefore you're saying that the mental challenge that some leaders have with something that's invisible and paying loads of money for it every year. But the whole deal is that if you're in a, I don't know, I'm working in the finance and banking industry, and for sure in that industry, if you don't do things right, and I'm not talking from a compliance point of view, I just mean if you don't do your security right, you're going to get burnt, because there's so many people on the outside and some at some point on the inside who will, you know, who organized crime is superbly efficient, and that's who you're really dealing with. Sure, you've got to be compliant, but it's the, without going on that tangent, it's the, your compliance should really be the output of your security program, not the other way around. But yeah, if you're dealing with proper attackers, then you raise your game. There's no question about it, and the leadership gets it and they support it. So it just depends on the quality of your attackers. No, it's not. It really
no,
doesn't.
I don't agree with that at all. Because money can be generated.
That's right.
Like, that's my whole point tomorrow is how to generate money out of security testing. And
Thank goodness if
you don't... Yeah.
Can you give me some?
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you can't format, much to, I think, what Ian was talking about, if you're not formatting your results in a way that derives funding, it's your fault, not theirs. And really get that, like, it's your fault, because the way you prevent you, the way you provide those results is not resonating with the reader or the people that you're explaining it to, and it's your job to reformat your results so that you can get the appropriate support. Because whether it's not aligned with the business, whether it's personally not aligned with the people that are providing that funding, it's really about how we execute. And when we execute, part of our execution is understanding the communication path we need to take in order to get results to come back. So I know that we're coming short on time. I really want to know from you guys what you need. So what challenges do you have right now that need to be filled in or need resources, right? Because all of us surf stupid websites and read blogs and RSSs and God knows all this other crap so that we can regurgitate it on our podcast of all of these other people who are really smart in comparison to us, and like try and connect people to it. But in order to direct people appropriately, we need to know like what gaps there are out there. So what gaps do you guys have? Like, what do you wish you had more connection to, or what problems have you had that you haven't been able to solve that one of us might be like, oh, yeah, you could just use this? Nothing? You're all fucking perfect?
Everything's fine.
We're the losers.
Why don't you all make podcasts? I'll listen to that shit.
That's a great question, Chris.
Oh,
that's
a good question. Did you hear it?
This is my
turn. I think the people are just overwhelmed with all this information. I mean,
hold on, I can't hear because all of them are fucking talking. It's not your fault. It's theirs. Go ahead.
Beep.
Yeah, beep.
I think the people are just overwhelmed about the information. I mean, I'm also 15 years purely in the IT industry, and if I see the quality now of the blogs and, you know, information security is all over the place, so we have only lead people anymore, so anyone is know everything about anything.
Right.
So and if I monitor the, I mean, if I remember, I started with maybe 3-4 RSS feeds, which I said, well, they're really high quality, and now all of a sudden, 2-3 years ago, you need almost 150 RSS feed to follow everything.
Yeah.
And if I watch normal RSS feed, maybe I need 4 or 5. which I think is much more quality you have. So the people just overwhelmed. The same thing with the development is it's really overwhelming about the industry.
If you want to talk RSS feeds, I follow about 400. And I wish I could follow 3 or 4. The problem is, at some point in time, those 3 or 4 are going to talk shit, and someone needs to call them out. And I think that's part of what we do, is we go through all 400, and we kind of break it down for you, and hopefully I can point out the ones that are talking shit.
There's another point. I mean, when you work in the InfoSec, meantime, the InfoSec sector is a bit split up, so most people don't do all of the stuff in the InfoSec. Some people are specialized in web attacking, some people specialize in social engineering. Some people even do it with engineering.
That's one of the problems.
He's just left the building.
That was a conversation from last night.
Right now, I don't think you have to follow all the 300 or 400, just the ones that are specialized in that, what you're really interested in.
The thing is, I'm not talking about... So for me it is...
Maybe not.
The people now in the InfoSec community, for me, it's now too many people talking about InfoSec and don't know a shit about it. I mean, if I look, how many people, I mean, especially the younger ones, have really network fundamentals? Forget it.
Thank God.
So all start with all the sophisticated attack vectors, which, you know, the fundamentals are gone almost with the new digital
back to the
natives,
industry maturity.
Or whatever you call it.
The digital natives, you got a real point on them.
Process.
They don't know
it's,
what
it's
network layers are. You got
the
point.
Well, so that's an awesome point, right? Like when I was at Source earlier this week, Stefan said something to me that like really hit me heavily of, you know...
Sorry about that.
No, aside from you like punching me, but no, it really kind of got to me, right? Is I've been around for a while, and I kind of, you know, everything from the 3 TCP/IP books all the way through the Rainbow series and God knows what else. And he made this great point of like so many people are in AppSec because the bar to enter AppSec is so low. and you know he's right.
But don't you think they
exactly? No, but that's right. Like in order for the people who are new to the industry to get instant results, AppSec is way easier than networking, than reversing, than malware analysis, than those things. Because with AppSec, you can get quick results and start to go, I'm a hacker.
Yep.
Right? Yeah, and I think that speaks directly to your point. I mean, you know, one of my first questions when I hire people for our company is from the time that I take a cable and plug it into my Ethernet jack, as soon as I plug it in, tell me exactly how I get an IP address. Step by step. Out of thousands of people, I've had about 5 that answer it correctly.
Yeah, it's funny, I use that exact same question. And
awesome.
Because
Chris, this is tech, man.
Bro, it kills people.
Yeah, it does.
It crushes the people who sit on stage and talk about how dope they are with their O-Day. They're like, you get DHCP? No. Fucking, you're like 40 steps away. No, you don't know shit about networking.
That's true.
Yeah, I think there's a couple of points. So getting back to your question, there's the information management challenge, which we don't address very well. So as knowledge workers, part of our job is to be like as efficient as we can at like acquiring whatever information we need to get. And a lot of us just go, oh, I need to spend an hour every day reading RSS feeds. I haven't had that pleasure for years. And I realized I didn't need that pleasure because, well, you know, my world hasn't blown apart. Yeah. And so you get to the point of saying, well, what information do I need and when do I need it? And once you can do that, you become like, and it comes back to the earlier points, is to try and treat InfoSec like an explorer or a survivalist would, yeah? Where they have a set of skills, and they may be basic skills, but they're adaptable and they're flexible and they adapt to the circumstances, and you know, and that's how you should treat your information consumption. Like we consume, you know, I regularly have to like step back and go, whoa, I'm just consuming way too much information here. And it's much easier to read than it is to write, yeah? And so coming back to creativity, if you try and spend more of your time writing than reading, which is hard to do, and I'm not claiming I do it, but if you strive for that, then your creativity will come out more as well. So I think that's the bigger picture view on it.
Since you guys ask about what problems we face in our everyday job lives or anything, I'm a researcher, and I think the main problem I face is that people just don't give a shit about security. Like, not us, not developers. Okay, yeah, developers.
No, I mean,
most of the time they
don't fucking care about it.
But yeah, regular people. I mean, if I tell them, okay, don't connect to that wireless network because I can see what pictures you download, or I can log into your Facebook account. Okay, they don't give a shit, really. I mean, we just had that last weekend. Basically, we were at the science fair, you know, presenting company, blah, 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 and showing people how easy it is to just grab their stuff when they're on an open network. And yeah, they were like, okay, yeah, yeah. Cool. And I'm pretty sure that out of, I don't know, 50 people or something we talked to, maybe two will change.
But you know what the problem is there? The problem is already in your question. Normal people. As long as we take us out as something special, we cannot talk to normal people.
Yeah,
so we have to adapt to their language, not they to ours. We have to tell them things the way that they understand it and the way they have fun with it. Because if you always say, you can't do this, you can't do this, you can't do this, try this with a daughter or with a son, and you will find out how much fun he's going to have with that.
Like, I'm going to take the dirty pictures you're sending the person who's not your girlfriend and send it to your girlfriend and show them that you're fucking off. And then all of a sudden it becomes really important that their Facebook doesn't get screwed with anymore. Right? Like, it's really about impact. It's not about us going, oh my God, it's your password and it's here, right? Like, there's so many people that are on the wall of sheep at con and they're like, I don't give a fuck.
Right.
But when you start to create a scenario, it derives impact. So our job is to understand the people that are going to read our recommendations or listen to our recommendations and derive the impact that they're going to respond to. Not the ones that we're going to respond to, because we respond to dumb shit. We really do. We respond to dumb shit like, oh my God, I know that's Base 64 encoded. Boo! What the fucking idiots, you know? Like, we could totally bust that, right? And, like, CEOs, they're like, Base what? What? They're like, all right, fucking nerd, I'm out. Like,
Like, normal people that use Facebook, how do we get the message to them?
Yeah,
that's what I struggle with, right?
I think that's the
main
problem.
I like to call it face jacking.
Face jacking?
And you jack their Facebook and own it, and then show them what dirty pictures they have that aren't supposed to be shown, and publicly expose it, and they're like, fuck, this sucks.
But seriously, a lot of people don't have...
And that's not me in that picture.
It's totally not me. It's Photoshop.
I think the problem is really that like, a lot of people don't have dirty pictures on Facebook because they know that it just belongs to Facebook or whatever. So,
yes.
I mean, I know
I
do
the dirty pictures.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
But see, but
what else
still.
Is Facebook for?
So, but
I thought Facebook
exactly.
is down. Oh no, they're back up.
Not
again.
Enough.
I've seen
yeah.
your pictures, Chris. No, go ahead. We'll stop yelling at you.
I think the problem is of course we need scenarios that are just easy to grasp for everybody and just for the everyday person who just, I don't know, gets into Facebook, checks his mails and whatever. But I think that's really hard to do.
Farmville.
Sure, it's hard to do. That's the reason why we did it.
How about something really easy?
Agreed.
One second, something easy, right? Just asking them, this password that you have for Facebook, do you use it for anything else in your life? Anything.
The point.
Can you take
There's
that
another
person's
point,
name
really have to
and extrapolate what their user account name is and log into anything else once you have their Facebook, and I would guarantee you it's more than 50%.
But Facebook has SSL on the login form, but not afterwards.
Oh,
but
my God, SSL strip. Ah, holy shit.
No, that's not true.
Oh, no.
But
that's a different thing.
Still,
SSL.
This is not the point.
Really
as long as we talk about... Like the politicians in Germany, as long as we talk about the people outside, we don't give a fuck. We have to understand to be with them, not behind them and not against them and not the teacher. We have to learn to speak their language. So we have to learn to be the average people. That's the point. As long as we take us over them, we cannot talk their language, and then we can't talk them out of Facebook or something like that.
But as a matter of fact, we do think in complex terms, and we just know how things work. Like, I mean, most of the people in this room probably know how, I don't know, how SSL makes a key exchange and everything, but regular people just don't care, so...
See, they don't care, right.
And they shouldn't need to care, really that's the point.
That's the point, to say, so they pawn my Facebook, what then?
Yeah, I think the point is that they shouldn't need to care how SSL works. You know, I don't know the ins and outs of, like, a modern motor engine. Like, you know, I could probably explain how an old-style one worked, but these days it's completely different. So I don't know that, but I drive my car, yeah? So I just need to know how to operate the vehicle. So it's like, how do you operate a computer safely?
Yeah, I've got a fucking point to make.
Yeah, I'm going to jump in.
Hang on, he's got a fucking point to make. Let him make his fucking point.
I've got a fucking point to make. You're talking about the people out there, right? So all you here in the room know about buffer overflows. And the consequence is no longer use languages where buffer overflows are possible to happen. So the consequence of being secure would be stop using software written in C. Who in this room is able to stop using software written in C? You're the only guy. So we can talk about all the people out there as long as we want, but as long as we, as security professionals, are not able to use software that's secure, that's a problem. I think that's something we should work on.
Thank you.
I think it that's keeps a real us point. Employed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I think we've already moved on.
That's complete.
I was just going to say, hey, we talk about security. I think many of us are making the wrong assumption that people actually should care. You know, for us, what about politics? How often do we care about some of the big things in politics that actually directly affect us? What about economics? What about the textile industry? Things that we shouldn't care about. Just like the majority of the world shouldn't have to care about security and the technical issues with security.
When
we have specific issues that affect us, yes, it bothers us. You know, something we should do. You know, for instance, if you get ill, then you have a reason to actually care about illnesses in the medical world. But that's only a brief period in your life.
Like, I'm as far away from you as you can get. Because our world lives together. Like, I don't live alone. I'm sorry. Like you might live completely alone, but if you're sick, I want to fucking get you away from me. I'm sick, I have a concern for my family and my immediate friends, and I know that my infection can hurt them. And I give a shit about that.
So,
and just like security, and just like the textiles industry, and just like that, their flaws can be something that harms me as well as my family, and my flaws can hurt them. Like, we live in an interconnected world, whether you like it or not.
No, agreed, and I'm not defeating that. What I'm basically trying to say is we shouldn't care to the point that we go and get a doctorate in medicine, that we care to the point that we go and try to get a doctorate in politics.
Well, not a doctorate, we should be aware of it.
Exactly. Yeah, I think
we should care about it to the point that we have enough of an education to understand how to take the skills that we've learned and apply it to their language.
I mean, I have
and that's true for us.
I agree with that.
I think we're talking about, like, having a healthy understanding. Like, for example, I don't know how my body works. Sorry. It seems
I know I don't. Yeah. Like, look at me. Like, I'm a fucking mess. Like,
I thought you were just doing experiments. But, you know, you don't know how your body works. But maybe someone does it. But you know, if you listen, if you follow, like, good health advice and so on, generally, you'll be okay. But you'll still come down with stuff every now and then you seek a specialist. And that's kind of how stuff works. And so, you know, you can't expect, you know, Joe Average, and that's not meant in a negative way, from a point of view of security knowledge, you can't expect them to know the ins and outs of, say, how SSL works. But you'd expect them to do, like security hygiene, yeah, like they should know they should know enough of, like, how not to infect their family members with, like, whatever virus they just downloaded. So
don't stick it in that hole.
But you know what?
Yeah, don't stick it in that hole. I think you've just summarized that very nicely.
We got a good point there, because
it has bumps.
I don't know, but I
work from home, and, you know, body odor is kind of like an infectious disease, and I work from home.
I've watched your podcast and I see the people.
Anyone? How often do you shower? Like, seriously. Come on. How often do you shower? Once a week? Yeah, nice.
So are you married? There's
another point. Really,
I don't know how that ties in the conversation, but I think it's interesting.
Well, and on that note, I think we're going to have to bring this thing to a close.
What you have to point out is if we all know a bit about healthcare, but as soon as healthcare is uncomfortable, we don't care.
And which the is same is with the security. Enough,
yeah, you're talking about like, personal responsibility,
yourself,
though, aren't you?
Then you go.
So agreed. Healthcare. I mean, you know, you shouldn't drink. You should know you shouldn't smoke. Still, you smoke and drink.
We have to pause for a small commercial break from our sponsors. Go ahead, Paul. No, seriously. There's a number of sponsors that have allowed us.
Mixigars. But the point is, when security, as long as security is really uncomfortable, people won't care. And as when we make it easier for them to care, then they will probably care. But as long, it's like the same with us. Sports is kind of, yeah, you can do that, but, you know, it's kind of uncomfortable. I have to move. So I don't do sports. And that's the point. As long as things go uncomfortable, we are lazy too.
Yep.
And as long as things are uncomfortable, they won't have.
Here's the message.
No, seriously. Sure, the message is we are lazy.
Seriously, we're over time. I would really, really, really honestly like to thank all the sponsors that allowed us to drink beer, as well as give shit away, which we haven't given all of it away, so we need to figure out how the fuck do we give the rest to you guys. So please, like, now's the time for interaction. Tell us how to give you shit. Right?
I thought we were pausing for a commercial break.
Hold on. Commercial break. Go ahead and read off the sponsors that have sponsored
this. Hi,
this
is Chris Nickerson from Exotic Liability. And you can listen to us for anal sex, strippers, and porn.
Yeah.
This is Paul from Paul.com.
And drug use.
We're going to take a break now. Commercial break.
We put those in there somewhere. Moist. Oh, dude. Back to being honest and learning, I failed. Because all of the T-shirts that I was going to bring and a big, like, pack of 500
stickers.
Why do
you always have to excuses?
Well, I'm just
why do you always fail?
All right. Whatever. The fucking airline lost it. Assholes. We should go hack the airline and get my shit back. Woo! Hack the planet! Yeah!
All of us together.
No, I screwed up and I left them on my table because I was tired. I know, I suck. My bad.
I'd say I had some T-shirts from my employer, Mad Security, and I left them back home in Newcastle. So that was awesome.
Fail.
Good job, Matt.
All right, so we have shit left. How do we give it to you guys?
One minute, wait. Who asked a question and didn't get anything? You already have had lots of beers.
If we don't, we might have to give it away old school, Chris.
All right,
chuck
I'm
it.
With it.
Chuck it.
Chris, give it away old school.
Old school.
Well,
throw it, Chris.
Oh, fail. Give it back.
Fail.
You didn't hit any of us. Give it back.
Okay, we're going to ask you a
question. Get it in some population.
You could kill someone.
No, it's fine.
Okay. First person to answer this question correctly.
Right.
Do you like porn?
By staying in this room, yes, you agree that if you get hurt by this throw, you're okay with it. All right, glad that we've legally covered
it's
that.
It's all gone, except the beer, which we're not throwing. But there is free beer later on tonight. After the PowerPoint karaoke, there's going to be some free beer downstairs.
Free beer? Free beer?
Free beer is
so,
good.
Yeah.
Free
beer.
Not for you, Tom.
Chris, we have a list. So we have Prevent, IO Active,
Trustwave
Spider Labs, thatsmyface.com.
At Random Storm, Random, Random Storm, Storm,
Random Storm. Random Storm, Random Storm.
Random Storm, apparently Random Storm.
Yeah, so those are the people that are buying you drinks later tonight. So please, like, jerk their salespeople off or something.
Wow.
You know, like...
the Random Storm salespeople, you don't want to jerk off.
I think that's a polite decline.
Sucks.
But you could do it verbally. It's all right.
Can we hire you to come on our show and like represent our sponsors
fucking awesome. I will come on your show anytime.
He will come all
fact,
over
I do it at home often.
Okay, somebody please do a Larry impression and say over and out.
Over and out!
Wait.
Okay, thanks very much for coming, guys. There's PowerPoint karaoke somewhere. And beer. Lots of beer.
Please dial *611 for assistance.
turn on. You're listening to the radio program about Hacker Spaces. This here little radio program about Hacker Spaces.
Hello. Okay. Can I have your attention? The PowerPoint karaoke is in the lounge. It doesn't involve any singing, but there are several prizes and free beer that you can win. So we're also inviting the podcasters, the speakers, to come to the lounge. The bar is still open till 11, and still enjoy a little bit the rest of the evening. Thank you. And there's still some cool stuff in the hardware hacking area. So they're still open and doing workshops. Thank you.